Jess, thanks for coming to talk to us today. Now, an awful lot has been said about you and written about you in the past few days. This is the first time you've come to speak for yourself. What would you like to say?
I suppose the thing that I my strongest feeling is that there is a huge furore about something a man thousands of miles away said about me that has led to an issue that I care so deeply about and have dedicated most of my working life and quite a lot of my personal life to making better and supporting victims, specifically of grooming gangs, really, really directly. And it's painful to watch it become a political football rather than an actual attempt to really do something. You get very, very tired when you do this kind of work, and I've sat in courtrooms with young girls because they'll only speak if I'm sat there holding their hand. I've literally had a young woman groomed and raped, and she was pregnant, miscarry to the point where it marked my shoes because I was in the room with her and taking her to hospital while that was happening. And none of their voices, no care was given about these women. And this sudden demands being made, whether it's by the Conservative Party or ridiculous statements that are false being made about me and my government about it by a man 1,000 miles away, is it's just really, really, really painful when you know what I know, when you've seen what I've seen, and those young women deserve considerably better.
The man you're talking about is Elon Musk. I imagine you don't want to spend much time with me dwelling on him.
No.
He spends a lot of time, you're living rent-free in his head, it seems, at the moment.
Yeah.
But he called you a rape genocide apologist. You were talking about how it felt painful. Were you angry about that? I mean,
at first I just thought it was ridiculous. It's a ridiculous statement. I don't even know what it means, but it's a ridiculous statement. It's completely and utterly untrue. And whilst to use your words, that I'm living rent-free in his head, he obviously hasn't looked into the level of work that I have done on this over the years or currently. I've had men say worse things about me over the years, but what it makes me feel, where, you know, in the cold light of day, after you sort of dealt with how ridiculous it is and then the effect it's going to have on whether it's the next week of your life or how much of your life, you go back to, you can't be silenced by these people because you've got a job to do, and you've got a job, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that you've been given in government to actually change things for child abuse victims. And so then I just have to, you know, stop my feelings on the matter and stop worrying about, you know, what I feel about it, and just try and crack on with my job.
But what is the effect?
Oh, the effect is it's one of like being in a cloud and literally being able to see the wood for the trees, and the level of volume of communication that you get, both good and bad, it is suddenly huge. This is a man with a global platform. My sister-in-law texts me. She lives in my brother lives in France, And my sister-in-law texted me and said, I've just been reading about you in Le Monde. And so there is a level of ridiculousness of the bandwidth that this can make. So I have to think then, you never waste a crisis. That's what I was raised. I actually, funnily enough, wrote a book about one of the whistleblowers in Rochdale, where the lesson is never waste a crisis, that I'm trying to teach other people. And I won't waste this one, and I will make it so that we get change in our country.
I'm going to come on to that, but just before I do, the effect was that you've had threats made against you.
Oh, yeah.
You've been subject to abuse for many, many years. We've talked about it before, mm-hmm. that you're one of the top mm-hmm. 10 MPs in terms of needing protection. Was this on another scale that you haven't seen before?
Yes, I think, I mean, it's hard to sort of quantify it compared with other sort of times that you've been under a particular threat, but risk is dynamic and you have to take the information that you have in front of you and react to it as if the sort of highest level of risk. And so, yeah, it changes my life every single time. Every single time any of these sorts of things happen, it withdraws you a little bit more from the public. It takes you away from the public who need your help.
But the point is, what he did was dangerous. It's dangerous to your safety.
Yeah, I mean, I think Keir said it yesterday, that when you speak and if you have misinformation, you have to think about the consequences of what that does. And one of those consequences is a risk to members of parliament that you're talking about. And that, as Keir said as well, I'm all here for robust debate. In fact, Beth, I actually don't, I'm not that keen on people being overly nice to me. I like a bit of a brawl. But there is a difference between targeting misinformation at somebody and then just letting whatever threat to them roll out and robust debate.
The Conservatives are calling for a national public inquiry into grooming gangs, arguing that while trials have taken place all over the country, no one in authority has joined the dots. Badenoch saying 2025 must be the year that victims start to get justice. What's your response to that?
My response is that it's amazing that Kemi Badenoch could say 2025 should be the year that victims get the response after 14 years of government. I'm not entirely sure. Funnily enough, this all started about an Oldham inquiry, which a government she was part of also said should be done locally. And the fact that Kemi Badenoch is reacting to something that Elon Musk has said, I am reacting to things that victims say to me. And I watched what happened in the Telford inquiry because I was there. I helped and supported the victims throughout that inquiry. And it is the best thing I have ever seen to actually inform change of how things happen now, that stops children being abused now. So the Tories are... It's amazing they were only out of government 6 months ago and now they're claiming that... I've never seen Kemi Badenoch, Chris Philp, Robert Jenrick in any of the meetings that I've been in over the years trying to advance policy on this.
But,
never once.
But do you think there should be a public inquiry in the sense that, yes, the J review looked at child exploitation
for 2 years.
For 2 years, but specifically on grooming gangs, whether or not this is an area that needs its own inquiry.
Look,
that's the argument. How do you...
Their argument, what does that inquiry even look like? I am in no way against the full truth everything that has ever happened, and also accountability for people who covered things up, which is one of the reasons that we are pushing on mandatory reporting, so that people can be sent to prison if they try and cover this stuff up. And look, I am in no way against whatever will make that happen. Mm. But where is the evidence that this flag waving that these St. Johnny come latelys because Elon Musk said something? Where is the evidence when we had a national inquiry and still 2 years of their government, nothing changed? So after Sarah Everard died, the only thing the government announced at that time when there's this big furore about women's safety was that they would do the Angelini inquiry, which is still ongoing. Not a single thing has changed for women on the ground. I am interested in changing things.
Are you really angry?
I am really angry. I am really, really angry because some of the people who are now claiming to be the virtuous flag bearers of these victims, well, I'm going to listen to the victims and I won't rule out anything. We are making a specific, and this was always the plan. You know, the only thing I would say that this furore has done is elevate the announcement. There was always the plan that we would have a group of victims that would sit within the Home Office as decision makers on the child sex abuse inquiry and how to make it happen.